Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Question that we have to ask, or that we want to ask today to begin with, is America a nation founded on Christian principles? I'll get it out in a minute. You know, I got offended a few years back when I heard President Barack Obama say in the news media that we are not a Christian nation. Did anybody else hear him say that? I got offended because I feel like I live in a Christian nation because I'm around Christian people all the time. In 1620, the Mayflower Compact was the first legal binding document that was founded in our nation. When the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they came up with a document that bound them all together to make sure they followed certain rules and regulations and that they could live peacefully together. In this document, we saw things like, in the name of God, for the glory of God and our Christian faith. This is the only Christian document that this nation was founded on, in case you didn't know that. This is the only document that prescribes our religion as Christianity. We're all brought up with America the Beautiful. God shed his grace on these. This was written by Samuel Ward in 1882. We also have the Pledge of Allegiance. It says, "Unto the Republic, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice in all." This was written in 1887. It was revised in 1892. It was adopted by Congress in 1942. The words "under God" were added in 1954 under the President Eisenhower's administration. The reason that I'm bringing these up is to give you some basis for what I'm going to bring forth today. So in looking at what I've showed you so far, with America the Beautiful, Pledge of Allegiance, we would think that we were raised a Christian nation, correct? That's what I used to think all the time. And then there was a point in time when I joined an organization that I learned some different things. America was founded on the principles of individual liberty. It is these liberties that have made us the great country that we are. We were given the freedom to create our own lifestyle. We have grown to be the greatest nation on the earth. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Ben Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, created the foundations that has made us so great. These were great people, great men of intelligence. They gave us our great beginning. On July the 4th, 1776, Congress adapted the Declaration of Independence. That's 2 days from now. However, and on July the 2nd of 1776, they all agreed about the Declaration of Independence. It's interesting when you look at the Declaration of Independence, some of the terminology that's used here. It says the law of nature. And nature's God. It also says that people are endowed by their Creator. The language written in our Declaration of Independence is not a Christian language. It is godly language, but it's not Christian. These two terms that I just read to you are Masonic terms. If you don't, I'm talking about the Freemasons. I was a Freemason at one point in time. I was raised with some of this terminology. Because of our founding beliefs, we have prospered and became the strongest nation in the world. God has smiled on us. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Thomas Paine, John Adams, and Alexander Hamilton are credited for most of the work of our Constitution. General George Washington, who was our first president, was given control over what was put into the Constitution. In other words, he directed all these other people. The Constitution of the United States was actually adopted and written between May 18, 1787 and September 17, 1787. Be aware that Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. James Madison was a theist. Thomas Paine was probably a Christian. However, he was probably a deist and did not believe in Jesus Christ. I'm skipped on to the wrong person. John Adams, however, was a devout Christian. Alexander Hamilton was raised as a Christian. During the Revolutionary War, he later converted to a form of theism. Later on, he returned back to Christianity. Be aware that Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin were both Masons. George Washington brought Masonry from England back to the United States. It was part of the Grand Lodge of England. Ben Franklin, who was sent as an ambassador to France, became a Mason there so he could have much more political power. This is just giving you some backup that you probably didn't know. So the answer to the question, was America founded on Christian principles? The answer is simply this. While our laws are from the Bible, they're from Deuteronomy, from Leviticus, they are not founded on Christian principles. They were founded on biblical principles. Had our nation been founded on Christian principles, we would not necessarily have freedom of religion. Because if it is stated in the Constitution that you had to be a Christian to live in the United States, which I don't think that would be a bad thing, but had that been the case, we'd have a lot of people that couldn't be here because they are of other type religions. Now, we have risen to a status of superpower. It's been a slow rise. In 1776, we defeated the most powerful country in the world, England. Later, by 1920, I have to look back here, we assisted the other nations in defeating the Germans. By defeating the Germans and doing it in another country, the Germans totally destroyed their infrastructure, created a vacuum. There was no place, there was no manufacturing or anything to go. We stepped up and we took the place, and that's when we became the greatest nation on this earth. And I believe that was by God's design. God intended for that to happen. It's amazing we've never really had a war on this country other than the Revolutionary War. We have been a superpower for some 100 years now, so we've been able to maintain that status. U.S. News and Business Insider list the United States as the most powerful nation in the world, with Russia and China second and third. What does it look like to live in America today as a Christian? I can tell you the America I grew up in is much different than the one today. The America I grew up in, you better not backtalk your parents. If you did, you would lose teeth. You better respect your elders, or else the same thing would happen. You respected military. You respected the police. And at no point in time did you ever threaten to kill the United States president. Just the mere threatening of killing the United States president would put you in jail. Today, however, it's much different. Today, we've become a nation of lovers of self and greedy, prideful people, unwilling to admit default. How many times do we hear, well, it's somebody else's fault that happened, not mine? People murder their own children. I hear them cussing their children or cursing them in public. They teach their children to have no self-respect, raise them in fear and hatred, having no love for themselves. 2 Timothy 3:1. For know this also, that in the last days, grievous times will be at hand. For men will be self-lovers, money lovers, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, unyielding, false accusers, without self-control, savage, despisers of God, or despisers of good. They will be traitors, reckless, puffed up in the lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of themselves. Do y'all see that happen today on the news? I see it every day. In 1962 and 1963, we kicked God out of the school system. The sad thing, one of the biggest sad things about that is by kicking God out of our school system, what did that tell all of our children? It says God is not important. The government's more powerful. In two landmark decisions, Engle versus Vattel, that was on June 25th, 1962, and Abingdon School District versus Shemp on June 17th, 1963, the Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible readings unconstitutional. You know, you can say what you want to. There's got to be a division of church and state. But the Constitution declares that we have the right to worship who we want to, when we want to. But the government says no. Where does that leave us? You know, it's sad. But today you can invoke the name of any god. Allah, Buddha, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Saul. However, if we mention the name of Jesus, we get ridiculed. We get persecuted. It's our fault that this is happening today. We as Christians have allowed God to be taken out of the school. We have allowed other religions to come up and ridicule us. We've done that. We all suffer from that great and despairing disease called apathy. We don't care, or we don't act like we care, or we're just scared to say anything. We've looked the other way. We did not take a stand when necessary. And the amazing thing is, a person who will stand for nothing will fall for anything. And we fought. Jesus talked about this condition in Revelations. Revelation 3:15 says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I think he finds apathy a little disgusting. We keep to our own little world. We fail to get involved. As Christians, we should be standing up for what is good, what is right, what is honorable to God. Following the example of Joseph and Daniel, who lived in foreign countries, but yet worshiping God only, they rose to a power of second in command. No matter what happened, they stood for God. And when times turned bad, guess what? God was there with them, just like he's here with us when times are bad. The question is, how do we correct the wrong that we have allowed to happen over the years? How many athletes we got in here? I know there's a few. When you're an athlete and things aren't going right, you have to return to basics. A boxer will stand there and throw that one punch many, many times. Soccer player, he stands there and he practices kicking the ball. Tennis, all you do is you hit the ball. You turn back to basics. You go back to the basics to improve and correct the flaw that you have somewhere. It's important. Jesus told us what to do when things go wrong. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And said, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and prophets. What does it mean to love somebody else? Does that mean you tell them nice things all the time? Or does it mean that you're honest with them? That you tell them when something's not quite right? As Christians, we need to stop looking at the bad things that happen. We all have a tendency to do that, don't you guys? There's so many bad things going on right this minute, I can't think about anything else. But that's not the things that we should be looking at. We shouldn't be looking at the bad things that happen. We should be thinking about the bad things that have not happened. Have you ever got mad at somebody because they didn't leave a stoplight soon enough for you? How dare them sit there that long? Why are they paying attention? Idiot. Next time that happens to you, instead of thinking about that person not moving in time, I want you to think about something. If you believe God is in control of your life, you think about this. I believe God's in control of everything I do, except for things I take away from Him. But for the most part, God's in control. Doesn't God say that He will keep us from harm? So if you have to sit at that stoplight an extra 2 seconds, do you think that maybe, just maybe, that may have been ordained by God? Because if you'd left 2 seconds earlier, that car that just ran the stoplight a mile down the road would have been running into you. Just something to think about. Look at the things that haven't happened. Do know that bad things happen. They're going to happen to us. It's just the way it is. But we have to be aware of, we have to pay attention to our focus. If we stay focused on bad things are going to continue to happen. So if we practice focusing on the bad things that happen, that have not happened, that's actually good things. To answer the question, how do we live as Christians in a non-Christian world? One, you have to become prayer warriors. You have to stay in prayer. Prayer does many, many, many wonderful things. My cousin got into a real bad car wreck. The doctors looked at him and told his wife, says, he's not leaving here. He got brain shear. Does anybody know what brain shear is? It happens all the time in auto racing. He went across the road doing about 120 and clipped a car. They said, he's not going to live here. I know for a fact there were well over 20,000 people praying for him to recover. And that was just in my area. When he recovered from that, and could stand up and talk and carry on a conversation, the doctor said, well, he's recovered. We didn't expect it to happen, but he'll be confined to a wheelchair the rest of his life. Can you imagine what it'd be like for a person that drives truck, long-distance truck, to be confined to a wheelchair that can't get out and do anything? It's not a fun thought. Anyhow, when he walked out of the hospital, they were totally amazed. That was prayer. God answers prayer. He answers all of us. We are in the land of the free, the living. We're free because of the dead, brave policemen, firemen, EMS personnel, military personnel. These guys have volunteered to be beaten, tortured, maimed, and killed for us, for you, for me. They volunteered. They did it knowingly. Do we have any police officers in here? We don't, do we? They've actually entered into a covenant knowingly and willingly, with much forethought, with wild disregard for their own safety, and sometimes the safety of their families. They are willing to die for us, even though people spit, curse at them, and call for their death. When they go to restaurants, they are refused service, called vulgar names, disrespected in the vilest of ways. When they enforce the law, they become the criminal. You guys seen that here lately? They get investigated, tried, and ridiculed by the news media. All this to protect an undeserving, unappreciative group of people. In Boston, Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake stood before the news cameras while riots were occurring in her city. They were burning the place down. They were destroying everything. And what did she say? We also give those who wish to destroy space, to destroy space, to do that as well. What kind of leader is that? We should be respecting and teaching people to respect the people that knowingly, willingly go out there and stand between us, a bullet, or whatever the case may be. This is true whether it's policemen, EMT personnel, firemen, soldiers. Now, Americans have paid the great sacrifice. Jesus said, no greater sacrifice has any man ever made but what he gives his life to protect somebody else. On April 19th, 1975 through September 3rd, 1783, during the American Revolutionary War, 25,000 Americans were killed. And this is just talking Americans. On June 18th, 1812 through March 23rd, 1815, War of 1812. I think I did that wrong. Oh, well. There were 20,000 Americans dead. 1861 through 1865, the Civil War. 625,000 Americans were killed in that fight. Brother against brother. Father against son. 1914 to 1918, World War I, 116,000 Americans dead. September the 1st, 1939 through September the 2nd, 1945, the World War II, 405,399 Americans were killed in that one. 1950 to 1953, the Korean War. We had 35,878,000 Americans killed. November the 1st, 1955, April 3rd, 1975, 20 years. We had 58,209 Americans were killed. 1990 to 1991, 258 Americans. 2003-2011, Iraqi War, 4,489 Americans were dead. From 2001 until the present, there are 2,387 Americans dead. This is as of October 18th, 2016, and this is still occurring. Total deaths in American wars. This is all wars total that we've been in. Some of them I didn't put up here because I don't really think they were wars of protection for us. But still, I made that decision. There have been 1,498,240 Americans that have died so that we can participate in the freedoms that we have today. In the last 2 years, we've had 258 police officers killed. This past year was the worst. These men and women have given their lives so that you don't have to, so we can have freedom. To allow us to have freedoms we experience today. Without the sacrifice of those brave souls, there would be no freedom. Each of these people found something worth dying for, just like Christ did. That is you. They died for me and you. 1.5 million people. So that we could come here today, worship God the way we want to, our God. My question to you is, how about you? What would you die for? Maybe your wife, children, friends, family, maybe your belief. Would you die for your country? Would you die for God? You know, once you determine what you would die for, then you will know what you're living for. Freedom as Christians, what does that mean to us? From the dictionary, freedom means personal liberty, as free from slavery, bondage, serfdom, etc. Liberation or deliverance, as from confinement or bondage. It's the quality of or state of being free, especially to enjoy political and civil liberties. That's from the dictionary. The true meaning of freedom means being able to make a choice as to who you will be subjugated to. Paul, who experienced the freedom to kill as many Christians as he desired in his early days, also experienced the freedom to convert as many people to Christianity. He's been on both sides. To Paul, freedom or being free was simply at best a contradiction in terms. To be free, Paul says, means you have to be a slave to something else. You made that determination to how you will be a slave. To be a Christian means you adhere to the God to the will of God through His Son Jesus Christ. Jesus said, or Paul said, you can be free from sin, but you must be a slave to Christ. Then being free from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. But now being made free from sin, you having become slaves of God, you will have your fruit to wholeness and the end, everlasting life. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For he who is called a slave in the Lord is a freed man of the Lord. And likewise, he is called a slave. Who is called a free man is a slave of Christ. For though I am free from all, yet I have made myself servant to all, so that I might gain the more. For also by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, bond, or free. Even all were made to drink into one Spirit. Going back to the original message of the Declaration of Independence, all the people are endowed by their Creator to live in this country that enables us to worship as we desire. This is true no matter who you are. Whether you are Jew, Islamist, Buddhist, Hindu, or you practice any other religion, you're free to do that in our country. And in the words of Joshua, I like this one. And if it seems evil to you to serve Jehovah, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. This is what being in America is about. So if patriotism, is about loving your country. About loving your country that allows you the freedom to worship, pray, and invoke the name of your God. Then yes, we can both be Christian and we can be patriotic. Let's pray.
Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.